Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You will be on the Blog Talk Radio site at that time. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the Follow button. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Thurman, who, like me, is a member of ULU. Our topic for tonight is, can we change the world? Will we find the answers? Peace, Brother Thurman. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing wonderful. I'm
thankful to be in your company and the rest of the sisters and brothers in the family that always uplifts my spirit and gives me some good heart medicine that we need.
Absolutely, no doubt. Brother Sermon, in your opinion, can we change the world? Will we find the answers?
Absolutely. I don't have any hesitation about saying absolutely, because we must never, ever stop in our liberation movement, our freedom movement, to be free and maintain our freedom so it's never ending. Once we achieve the freedom next week, we still have to maintain that freedom to make sure that it's never, ever taken away from us again. And so we have to be very confident about it. And absolutely, as more and more of our original people continue our reawakening journey, including doing daily work to change for the greater good. That's a term that our ancient ancestors used to use as a way of measuring whether we should or should not do something. Is it in the greater good? And you could come up with all kinds of examples or questions you could ask yourself. You know, for example, a microwave oven, is using it in the greater good? The reality is no. Now, people's addiction to artificial stuff, that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to come back to a place where we are focusing on the greater good. And for me, I'm a lifetime teachable, correctable student. And we must take that kind of determination, courage, and make a transition away from whatever is anti-us. And there's so many things that's in the way of us changing the world that we have to delete, get rid of, and replace. And yes, the answer still is, can we change the world? Yes, it is. And the reawakening of our people that will be major instruments in teaching the rest of the world the way as we did originally. The original melanated black African people were the only ones here in any significance for hundreds of thousands of years or millions of years. No evidence of others until recent, a few thousand years. And we have the responsibility to reawaken ourselves. And we have the responsibility as the original high-level people on the planet to teach the others as we did in the beginning. We taught them spirituality, God complex. We taught them mathematics, science, engineering, how to take a bath, and so much more. And when we come back and we reawaken back to our high culture again, we will be doing the same thing, teaching the others and being the model for the rest of the world and beyond.
I like your positivity, Brother Sermon. I happen to agree with you on that point. When you mentioned the greater good, we are so much out of our natural minds. Until for many of us, what we think would be for our greater good would actually be to our detriment.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the question is, how do we ease people to the understanding that we have to have another way of looking at things?
One, those who know, as the African said, have the responsibility to teach. And teaching is how much we can know is unlimited, and how creative we can be in terms of reaching the people. There's many ways that we can approach it, and people have tried many ways, and some are more successful than others, but we've got to be determined, and on a daily basis, what we should be striving to do is every time we see a sister or brother, ask them what's the good word, and engage them on the subject of sharing good words, because every time we meet up with one or more of our sisters and brothers, it's an opportunity for us to get some good words from each other, so that when we walk away, we all had grown and learned some more about some of everything. And so when in our high culture of ancient Africa, including, the world's first documented multi-genius, Imhotep, he came out of the womb to go to school for 42-plus years to learn 360 degrees of knowledge about everything. And mm-hmm. when we do that, if we do this good word scenario there, and we spread that to where it becomes a routine for us, rather than ignore each other, turn our head away, that we would stop and greet each other. And in African tradition, it used to be very common amongst African people, they would stop and hold each other's hand and share some words, and sometimes and just share some love for a greeting, but in a warm mm-hmm. embrace. And some of them, they just cherished it so much that when you walked away, they would actually take their hand and smell it, because they had picked up some of your aroma, and as they were walking mm-hmm. away, they were just loving, you know, that they had had some words and held hands with you. And so we can do it. What we have to do is we have to overcome the miseducation. We have to get the people out of the miseducation school systems, and we've got to be in tune. We got to be in harmony with what's happening all over the planet and beyond, and we've got to be able to flow with. As an example, one of our highly dedicated, loyal Us Lifting Us members, Sister Deborah, she posted a piece today that said, which is an African proverb, it says, when the rhythm of the music changes, so much must the dance steps, meaning in the field of dance, they have a phrase as out of step. It's a phrase mm-hmm. that has been adopted in everyday language. It means to be out of touch with what's happening around you. Unfortunately, many of us are out of step with relevant events around us, and we are dancing without realizing that the rhythm of the music has changed. And things change, mm-hmm. and if we are not adaptive to the change, we will be inevitably left behind. The lesson here is to be responsive. And then it goes on to say, when the rhythm of the music changes, the dance step changes also. And the final word is, are African people changing their dance to keep pace with the changing music of these political and economic times? And if we're not, we must. And those that are not aware of what we must be doing, we've got the responsibility to reawaken them.
Thank you for that, Brother Sterling. I think we're asking, can we change the world? Will we find the answers? On the continent, recently, there have been many African nations that have kicked out the European embassies and gotten rid of a great deal of the European influences in their countries. So, as you say, that an awakening is taking place, it seems that it is taking place on the continent of Africa in a big way. Have you heard
yes,
of those
is.
Things?
Oh, yes, I have, and I am so thankful, and I'm highly excited about it. And I saw a picture today of one of our ancestors, one of our great ones in Africa, that Thomas Sankara. He was a major model for the African, including reawakened leaders and new leaders that are coming forth to lead the people. And he was a major one that said, you know, some roughly 10 or 15 years ago, something like that. It might have been in the 90s. Lost track. But he refused to continue to pay them. He said, don't pay them. But he was so loyal to the people that he did a lot of changes and dramatically, I mean dramatically, improved the education level of the people in his homeland, Burkina Faso. And he showed that he wasn't caught up in the previous administrations for many, many centuries probably in Africa, that they were not all loyal to the people and they were into materialistic things. And Thomas Sankara wasn't into that. And he met with a group of African world leaders and he told them, he said, look at yourself and look at me. He said, you see the shirt I have on? This came from a cow, that a product of our farming, and it was tanned and sewn by our people. And if you look at my shoes, all of that, the leather, it came from the cows on our land. And when I look at you all, you got on European, Italian and shoes and a noose around your neck and these kind of things. And so we've got to change the mindset. And when it comes to Africa, as one of the wise sisters said recently, what's in Africa is our inheritance, and we are letting them steal it from us. But she's part of the movement, including the ones you were talking about, that's saying we're going to stop them from stealing from us. And everything else that they do, we've got to reawaken and be in rhythm in all subject areas that applies to our life. Any okay. area you want to choose.
All right, for sure. Well, it's good to see for me that people are no longer asking or demanding aid from the world organizations, you know, like every time something, to me, it would be that the Europeans would cause a ruckus and then the Africans would get upset and demand that the UN come in or that some other European agency come in to help them, to help protect them or defend them from the Europeans that were already there. And it never went well. So it looks like now they're pushing out all the UN. They're not asking for the UN to come in. They're not asking for any of that kind of stuff. It's like, we'll take care of it now. And as you say, I think that's part of the awakening, that we have to, whatever's going to be done, we have to do it ourselves.
Yes, and we've got to have a major shift in our thinking about everything. I'm looking at a picture of a shark, and behind it is what is, could be a few thousand, I don't know, little fish. And generally, sharks and other predator fish will find a great big school of fish, and they even have techniques to round them up in a great big ball so that they can just run in and just bite, and be guaranteed to get fish to eat. Well, in this particular picture, all of these smaller fish, this prey, have all formed together into something that looked like a super shark that's bigger than the biggest sharks. But it's all about being unified together. And it's, and just looking at the picture, the shark is out front running, fleeing, and the big unified collective of little fish that have formed like a huge, huge super tanker shark. They're running that predator off. And we must do the same thing. And it's like the Buy Black movement on social media says the thing to do, and they following the guidance of ancestor Marcus Garvey, it says the thing to do is to get organized, keep separated, and you will be exploited. So get organized. And that's what we got to do in all subject areas.
I agree with you. Yeah.
And we've got to come back into that rhythm that Sister Deborah talked about, and we've got to come back in love with African people. So it's like ancestor John Henry Clark said, "Go stand in a mirror, and don't move away from that mirror until what you see in the mirror, you love it. All everything, hair, nose, lips, everything." And we've got to fall back in love with African people and whatever their age and things like that. And we've got that responsibility. But in doing so, we would then make sure that we don't allow the children to be miseducated, bamboozled, tricked, and deceived. And it's just like the posting of today's call had as a picture, you know, it's on the Us Lifting Us page, for four African children, and they walking probably, but all four of them are moving forward, facing forward, and each one of them got all their arms around each other. But that's the kind of love that we must restore, and we've got to simultaneously make sure that we are nurturing their mind and body in all of the ways that's necessary that we know how to do when we are back to our higher self and not out of our African mind. And I'm looking at a picture of a sister, a young sister. She could be 10 years old. I don't know. But she's got a black doll in her hand, and she's just smiling and just so loving it. And we've got to erase the foolishness that's been implanted in African people, where even though it's been, who knows, 40, 50 years since they may have done the first black doll test where they brought some black children, especially black girls, but black children into a room. And they had two doll babies, one black, one white. And they asked the little child which one was pretty. And the child in this test most of the time picked up the white one. And so we've got to change that. It's where we would never be ever, ever, ever be buying our children or making any doll baby that didn't reflect their beautiful melanated selves, their hair and the whole thing. And if we don't, and when we don't, you know, we get exploited, like the word from Marcus Garvey said. We can't afford that.
You know, speaking of the doll baby test, I was talking to someone recently, and that subject came up. And they presented a perspective to me that I had not thought of, because we always said that the black child did, you know, like it was self-hate that caused them to prefer the white doll to the black doll. And the perspective that was presented was that it wasn't that the child hated itself. It was that everything around them had presented the notion to them that the white doll was more desirable. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted what was more desirable, and they chose the white doll. Now, it might also say that they don't feel that the greater society or the people around them perceive them as being as desirable as you know, like another white child, another child who is white. But I thought that was, I hadn't looked at it in that way before. And I think that if we begin to peel that onion, that it's a lot more to the choosing of the white doll by black children than self-hate. That might not have anything to do with it at all. It's like we used to talk about the car commercials, and they always use white women to promote the selling of these high-end cars. And I forget who it was that said, so what they're doing is subconsciously giving men who watch these commercials the notion that the acceptable thing, the better thing to do, the better accessory with your new car is a white woman. And so that the men would subconsciously desire a white woman as an accessory for their higher end cars. So as they progressed on the so-called progress on the social scale, then their desire would be for a white woman to go with all the other accoutrements of their success. So that's something I think that, you know, we don't, I mean, we've been so busy running, trying to keep in place that a lot of things miss us.
Yeah, a lot of things miss us. And we've got to put that in check and bring clarity. And that's why we need to have conversations amongst us on a regular basis. We need to have our own places that we can come and talk in depth. We need to have, as Brother Yakai that's teaching, he's a master herbalist and a number of other things. He's got his own research lab and his own natural products warehouse, and strictly about plant-based food. He said we need to have our own research facilities so that whatever comes forth, we can analyze it, address it, and come up with what's in the greater good for our people, and not get caught up in foolishness such as taking chemicalized, poisonous vaccines and medicines of any type, and break free of the medical system. And we've got to do like the words of the song, or the What's Going On album that came out around 1971 with Marvin Gaye. It said the words were, we must save the babies, all of the children. But it also said, but who really cares to save a world that's destined to die? So we've got to reawaken the African minds all over this planet and beyond to where we really want to save the babies.
And we have a hand raised, Brother Thurman. So I'm going to take this call right now.
Yes, just before you do that, I just wanted to say something since I was mentioning the babies. There's a posting that was on Us Lifting Us Facebook page a few days ago, but it shows a picture of some Asian children sitting at the computers and with different toys and vehicles that they have designed in a small scale, and they're studying very vigorously how to make these toys, including cell phones and cars and things like that. But the second picture, is showing black children with their hands together praying. And the message goes on to say, we are teaching our children to worship God, talking about African people, while other countries are teaching their children to be God. And then it goes on to talk about, in that process, these other children are learning, these other children are learning to when our children are praying for a smartphone and cars, and when we get it, we would say that God gave it to us, but the other children are being gods, and they're creating the cell phones and the cars and selling it to us. And so
right.
The question is, who's being their higher self, us or them? And we've got to be in rhythm like Sister Deborah, you know, posted, and have clarity on what's really going on there. So thank you so much. Go right ahead with the call.
Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 3440. Please state your name, where you're calling from. Make your comment or ask your question. Thank you.
Hey, greetings, Sister Q and Brother Thurman. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you very well. Thank you.
Okay, great. I'm getting ready to get my white car and go after my white woman. How's that?
No, you're out of your African mind. Out of your African mind.
Oh, you got a wonderful show on tonight, and I wanted to share. I was at a webinar in which a sister, she was a clinical psychologist. She was speaking about reparations. A lot of things are going on, and what you had said earlier, saving the world and that we can save it, you know, a number of things are going on, except that we don't control the media. And so some of us get bits and pieces of information, and then we don't have the organization to be able to come together and massively share what we are able to acquire from what is going on, not only in the U.S., but, you know, wherever African people are. But anyway, what she said, and she was showing how the perception of what the European used and how that perception create in our minds certain kinds of things which would require a response, except they're creating a false narrative. We don't know that because we usually rely on them to get the information. And so what you were saying, you know, about the doll is pretty relevant, considering that what is happening to the black child is that this is what is put in front of him or her. This is what is instructing the parents that is necessary for their children to do well, and without consciously understanding how it is programming us, maybe not to hate ourselves, but definitely to love them. You know, so very, very relevant conversation. I wanted to announce that people may not be aware, but happening Saturday in Georgia State University, ADN, which is the Afro-Descendant Nation, all right, is hosting a National Reparations Convention. The objective of that is to try to bring as many groups together, all right, and begin to synchronize and coordinate, all right, and come out with a unifying message, you know, on reparation. Now, what's important about that is that the movement generally has not necessarily been led by strong nationalist-minded individuals. Now, Afro-Descendant Nation is a product of the Honorable Silas Muhammad, which came out of the Lost Foundation of Islam, all right, which you have the religious leaning, but they've been primarily focused on sovereignty as a visible solution and alternative to some of the reparations call that is looking for the man to save them. So I think that's very important. If people like to get more information, all you got to do is go on the website www and just put in their National Reparations Convention.com and you get information. It'll start Saturday. No, it might be late, you know, unless you in the Georgia, Atlanta area, it's still time to get tickets. But I really support this effort because it's one of the few nationalist-leaning, you know, who's looking at us first and not necessarily, you know, looking that the man is going to somehow change his stripes and see his wicked ways. In addition, just recently, President Otto of Ghana announced and demanded reparations from England and I believe the U.S. for slavery that happened in Ghana and colonization. Now, I never heard any African leader come out and state that, all right? I've never heard it. You know, right. We heard CARICOM, you know, mention it a little bit, all right? So I'm saying what you said earlier is that we are waking up bits and pieces. We're trying to disseminate that. I'm trying to disseminate to let you know, yes, we are winning. The process maybe appears slow, but the man is accelerating his attack. I want to say this honestly, that in spite of these things happening, he hasn't let up because he doesn't want to give up the reign, all right? And so he is increasing his effort through psychological warfare, you know, in other words, taking the war to the mind, all right, to try to dissuade us, confuse us, what have you. But in spite of all that, you know, we're still in charge of our own actions, and we're moving straight forward. So I thank you all for you know, bringing this topic up. And yes, we are winning. Go to also Us Lifting Us website. You know, that's one of the tools which can be used to move us towards our victory. I'll stop here, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to comment on what you all bring, you know, which are very powerful and important topic for conversation.
Thank you for your comments, Brother Shabaka.
Yes, thank you.
Quite welcome.
All right.
Okay.
Family, we've got to, in all subject areas, for our well-being, our safety, our sanity, our total wellness, we've got to engage in all of the vital areas, including reawakening on higher and unlimited ways spiritually and unlimited and mentally and what we can learn and comprehend and things like that. And also we've got to, and along the way that will help enhance that journey is that we get involved with our physical self to be fit and functioning all of the time for whatever we have to deal with. And what will help aid that spiritual, mental, physical process would be that we're actually consuming daily nourishing food and energies. And the food wouldn't be Cheetos or pork chops and cheese or cola drinks. And we need to do like the ancestors to make use of everything. Today on a black radio station, and I know it was what I'm getting ready to talk about was done, you know, just to bring some funds into them from an advertiser. But the advertisement was about encouraging our people to be okay with sisters going periodically to get a mammogram. And I just listened, but it's actually urging the sisters to have their breasts subjected to what you have to go through, including the radiation. And we've got to be able to, just like when I mentioned Thomason, Kara, and Burkina Faso, and what he did, he said he was going to stop paying them. He stopped buying.
Right.
He stopped being okay with wearing European, Italian shoes versus wearing shirts that were put together and stitched by Africans from their land resources and shoes and all of those things. And we've got to be independent-minded and so with, like, for the mammograms, for example, the sister's breasts, the sister's total makeup of the sister is precious and must be kept well, and we got to all be involved in that. And but for example, sisters, for one, that would embrace a natural plant-based diet and also get unstrapped, and certainly, if nothing else, if she goes out to work during the day, as soon as she comes in the house, get that strap off of her chest because it cuts off circulation and contributes to dis-ease. And also the sisters, and I'm just offering, you know, some alternative to that I'd call ridiculous stuff called a mammogram and breast massage and also sunshine. The Most High intended for our entire body to have sunshine. And there's lots of folks that live and die and never have the sunshine on their total body, including between their legs. And also dance. When now people were customarily living in an African village, every day there was some drumming and dancing and storytelling and things like that. But in that dancing, what were the breath doing? They were moving up and down and getting good circulation of blood and vital energy. And so when we get the diet right and things like that, including the sister's trusted partner would massage their breasts, there would not be a need to subject yourself to and using the sunshine, as I said. And we've got to just reawaken and get free of it's like we must grow food. And this, you're supposed to grow food where you live so it can become medicine for you. So mm-hmm. we need to grow food for people to get that part. Now, the other part that we got to make sure that we add to that is that we're not using poisonous chemicals to grow the food, poisonous chemicals to keep the weed down. And there's natural ways, including taking kitchen waste and grass cuttings and leaves and things like that to make compost and mulch, and also using worms. And there's something called a process called biochar, which is really burning wood, but just in a to get a lot of it. But biochar is something that's just like it's charred wood, but biochar you can take it in. Once you've got, you know, a container of biochar, you can saturate it with some compost liquid and compost for a few days, and the biochar would absorb the beneficial microorganism nutrients and beneficial aspects of the compost would get into the biochar, and it would stay there for a long, long time. When I say a long, long time, it wouldn't just be for a few months in the growing season, but it releases beneficial energies to the soil for a long, very long time. And that's something that that just brought it up. And we've got to get free of the poisons, period, so that we as a people can be free of diabetes and kidney dialysis and all of that stuff. And we can. And when we do it, you know, the masses of us did it tomorrow. And starting tomorrow, the diabetes centers and the kidney dialysis centers will begin to close because we stopped supporting it. And we can do that. And we got to be bold. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, sister.
No, go ahead and finish what you were saying.
Yeah. So we've got to be bold about how high we would go. And I've got a piece here that's about aluminum foil, because so many people have been socialized to think that this is such a good thing, and it's toxic. All aluminum spoons and pots and pans, all of them are toxic. And you can look it up, aluminum toxicity, and aluminum contributes to brain malfunctions, you know, people call it Alzheimer's. And we've got to realize that putting your food in aluminum foil and cooking it with that, the food just causes tremendous absorption of aluminum into the food. And then when somebody starts losing their mind, they'll say, well, we need to pray for them and get them, find a cure. And the cure has always been there. The cure for cancer, as I heard somebody say several years ago, I don't disagree with them, that there's 300 plus cures for cancer. And in Africa,
for sure.
The Twa, the Twa have always known. The Twa, to this day, maintains that they could cure anything with what they have in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
We would be we've been socialized and made confused, and we've got to correct that. And so it's like Amos Wilson says, we can only protect our rights and interests as people through the power to prevent other people from having their way with us. The emphasis then should be on the development of political and development of true power, which is military, economic, and otherwise. And that is our ultimate salvation. And that, along with what I just said about we've got to have that health aspect in the word ecosystem, we've got to be about an ecosystem in our thinking so that we wouldn't be ourselves involved in poisoning the earth. And so if you're using that aluminum pots and pans and foil, you're poisoning the earth, but you're poisoning yourself also. And if you look up the history of aluminum, there was a time that the waste product from aluminum, they couldn't do anything with it, but just have great big piles of it because nobody wanted it because it was a toxic waste. And then when they found a way to incorporate into the water, public water systems, and also create other things. But it assures the medical system patients that are sick over and over for generations because they're living a lifestyle that's contaminated. And they voluntarily contaminate themselves and take contaminated medicine.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of the medical system, we know that you can't really rely on these medical tests because it's a very good possibility. Well, see, they don't make money unless they have what they call patients, but actually your customer. So the test is basically to convince you that you need to be a customer. And many of these tests are designed to give you a positive reading even when there's nothing wrong with you. So if you will, it's like you're feeling perfectly well and you go for your free annual checkup. The purpose of your free annual checkup is to try to get you involved in the medical system. So they may give you all clean tests this year, and they may give you all clean tests for a couple of years, but at some point they're going to start giving you tests to say that there's something wrong with you. And you say, well, I feel fine. I don't feel like there's anything wrong with you. That's because generally there's nothing wrong with you, but they'll tell you you need to take this medication. All of the medications are poison. So by you taking the medication, you're starting to poison your body, and the effects on your body, they will say that's the side effect of, they won't say it's the side effect, but it's not really a side effect. They know when they give you these medications that these things are going to happen based on the type of poison that they're giving to you. And then they will give you another poison to offset what's happening with the first poison. And they do that on and on. So the idea is to understand that if there is something wrong with you, you don't need to take a poison to so-called heal yourself. Trust yourself if you feel like there's nothing wrong with you, because we are manipulated by the infinitesimally small and the unimaginably large in your body. everything they tell you that can go wrong with you, something you can't see. So that's why you have authorities and experts, so they can tell you that something is wrong with you, even though you don't feel it. They'll tell you, well, it's too small for you to see, but we can see it in our little machine, and trust us. And these are the same people that have been telling you forever that they, you know, they want you off the planet. When they say zero carbon emissions, they're talking about you. Melanin is carbon. Emissions is you breathing. They don't want no more melanated people breathing. And they keep telling us that, but we seem not to know how to translate what they're saying in our minds. And I think also, too, part of it is that we can't understand why somebody would want to just kill people for no good reason, since that's not the kind of people we are. We can't understand that from somebody else.
Yeah. Yes. And so we've got to strengthen our connection with the Most High, with the Source, whatever word you use. And we've got to be involved in things that will help strengthen our connection, including meditation, being out in nature, journaling, writing, and raw foods. And these are fundamental to your journey. And in that process of being out in nature and raw food, you know, ideally we must have some land. So as Frantz Fanon said, for colonized people, the most essential value, because the most concrete, is first and foremost the land which will bring them bread, and above all, dignity. I have a picture here that shows a sister and with some brothers and children in the background on some rural land many years ago. And this brother that observed this, he said, if you stop and think about it, our grandparents and great-grandparents were rich. They owned land, grew their own food, made their own clothes, and fixed their own vehicle. Plus, they had a lot of money under the mattress. In our lifetime, they, talking about others, tricked us and made us think that a big house with zero land was the move. It was made to look like they were poor, but in talking about our ancestors, but in actuality, they were self-sufficient, which equates to freedom. And then the brother goes on to say, I desire a life much like them. And we're just in a different mindset when we reconnect with the land. And like this sister's piece that I read talked about meditation, being out in nature, including the sunshine, journaling, and raw food. And it opens up your mind's eye to where you have greater clarity just by doing those kind of things. And the ones that have adopted this live inside lifestyle, then they're doing it to the detriment of them and the babies, and just messing up the human and planetary ecosystem, and making themselves sick and confused instead of having high-level clarity about life.
Thank you, Brother Fermi.
Yes, and along the
we
way,
we don't have any hands up, so go ahead.
And along the way, when we have the deficient diet and deficient, what some people try to equate with real spirituality, and it's not real, genuine, authentic, things that people do, and they just think it's normal. So, for example, women wearing bras, for example, I talked about that a minute ago. It's just some insanity that somebody came up with, and it really is insanity, and from a natural perspective. And high-heeled shoes is another one. High-heeled shoes change your bone anatomy, and it does a whole lot of damage if somebody has planted it, socialized, and bamboozled the people that would make people think, women think, and men think that it's just, they just think it makes them look so good. But it's all planted in your head. I mean, who told you that? Well, you know who told us that, but they wouldn't have been able to tell us that if we, and they can't tell us now if we're in our right mind. If all of these things, we've got the opportunity to, as a brother in Virginia Beach, Virginia, that's a chef, Chef Wilfred, he says, whatever you cultivate over time is what you get. If you're overweight, ill, or unhappy, you can look at the seeds you have been planting with your lifestyle's choice. And so a person's lifestyle's choice has a lot to do with them being overweight, ill, or unhappy. And when I say things like unhappy, we got to be able to distinguish the difference between the mindset that we must be in. And yes, we are in a world of, and have been since the invader showed up, of cruelty, violence, rape, robbery, and all of those things and more. But in terms of our mindset, like this message says, being awake is a blessing. Or being awake isn't a blessing, it's a burden. Only the strongest of souls can wake up every day and see the whole world sleeping around them and still carry on as if it's normal. It's a part of the message in the last word, to still carry on as if it's normal, that we are in a freedom liberation movement, unjust cruelty subjected to us in the past and today included, all over this planet. But when we get up on our higher self, we can still go forward and still be very aware of what's happening around us, but we're staying on our path and we're not being allowing ourselves to be mentally broken down. And so it's just like Baba Hakima recently on his monthly talk about us lifting us. He have an image of a bucket, a galvanized, a metal bucket with a bunch of holes in it. You pour water in it, it's just pouring out of the holes, and the bucket will never be full. And make sure that on the third Thursday of this month that you tune into that call so that you can ask deeper questions about us lifting us. And keep in mind that all of the calls are archived with Blog Talk. But all of our calls are vital, and make sure that you tune in. And one last thing, we got to do what the words of Marvin Gaye's song say, save the babies, all of the children. And somewhere in the last few weeks, I posted this was a short video of a brother in front of his son sitting on a chair of a sofa. Son might have been 10 years old. But it turns out that his son has been hollering and cursing his mother. And so the father was in front of him and said, talk to me like you talk to your mama. He wouldn't say nothing. He was lost for words. So we've got to see if when we were in our right mind and in our right spiritual culture, we didn't have in the past children that would have ever yelled, a 10-year-old, 8-year-old, a 15-year-old included, yelled and cursed at their parents because the community wouldn't stand for it. When I was little, 10 or less, I can remember some things that the elders told me to do that involved some work. I didn't even know what it was to poke my lip out. I was just bewildered of how I'd do this because I'd never done it before. But I had nothing implanted in my head that would have made me want to have a tantrum and poke my lip out. It's only when we allow the invaders and their mindset to come forth to make us confused. And so harness the boundless energy of your mind for its potential. Its potential is as endless as the cosmos itself. And so the potential of our mind is as endless as the cosmos. And in spite of, we got the responsibility to be our higher self. And so our ancient Africans had accomplished great, great things. They were being their higher self. And we got to be our higher self as a major weapon to defeat the invaders and become free and maintain our freedom once again.
Thank you for that, Brother Fern. We want to thank everyone for joining us this evening. We invite you to join us again next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Time for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
Peace.